B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 4 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Mussnelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic, and it is a Friday. Memorial Day weekend Friday, and also a day where we welcome in the great number 36, Brian Westbrook. He's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check him out online at landisbc.com. Big Memorial Day weekend at the farm, B. West?
You know what? We are going to be having a big Memorial weekend at the farm. Probably get out and ride the horses through the trails for a little bit. Probably do a little fishing as well.
But then that is nice. Hey, stop right there. Yeah. Horses and fishing.
There you go.
I love it.
Yep. That's what it's all about. That's what Maryland is all about. Crab cakes, football, horses, and fishing. Fishing. That's what it's all about.
Well, that sounds like a delightful weekend with you and the fam. So before we get there, we got to get serious about a couple things here. All right. Now, let's talk the NFL and the new rule and see how you feel about this. The owners are going to vote on the wild card rule change that would allow 4th and 15 on onside kick alternative. How you feeling about that? Instead of the onside kick, you have the option to go 4th and 15 from your own 25-yard line. You get the 15 yards. Boom. You keep possession of the ball, and you keep trying to score.
Well, here's the question. And obviously, most teams are going to pass on this possession. You're not going to run the football on 4th and 15. And so the biggest question is, how are the officials going to handle the pass interference call? Because, you know, in certain situations, certain times of the game, sometimes the officials basically swallow their whistles and don't even make any calls. And if that's going to be the case in this play right here, then to me, it doesn't really matter, because I think the defenders will be more physical. I think they will be more apt to, getting and interfering with the receiver during this play. Mm. And if the officials aren't going to call it as they normally would, then to me, it doesn't matter what they do with the onside kick. But if they're going to call it like a regular game, then I think it may have some viability as a play. Because, listen, if I have a tall receiver, if I have, you know, one of these big-time receivers in the NFL, that's the guy that I'm going to, and hopefully drawing an interference penalty and getting that first down. To me, that would be the only way to go, and that's why I think the play makes some sense, especially for teams that are going to have that type of physical receiver.
Mm, that's a really interesting point. Now, how do you think the NFL would like their officials to call it?
Man, I think in on the outside, they would say, we're going to call it even, but I don't think it's realistic to think that they're going to call it with the same type of emotion and accuracy as they normally do. Because, again, the officials don't want to be involved in game-changing play calls. They don't want to be involved in that. They want the teams to win the game on the field. And I think that this is just one of those situations where there probably would be some holding. I mean, here's an example. You know the Hail Mary play. There's always pushing. There's always pass interference. And it's rare. It's almost never happened that you get a pass interference call on the Hail Mary play, but you probably could get one on every single Hail Mary. It'd probably be the same situation from this, even though it'd be in the middle of the field to play more than likely. And so if they can call it straight, I would love it. I just don't know that we'll get an accurate upfront call from the officials in this situation.
That's really interesting, because even if they call it regular and they do call the pass interference, it gives them a first down. They still have to get the ball down the field.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they would handle that.
Yeah, I think they would. They would. I just find it, especially at the end of the game, and I'm thinking back to the Saints game a couple of years ago. I'm just thinking back to opportunities for officials to make a game-changing call. And I just think they do a good job of swallowing their whistles and not making the call. They're saying, hey, we're not going to throw the flag. We're not going to do these different types of things just because we don't want to be in that position to either be the hero because we won the game for a team, or the official to be called in on Monday morning because I made a bad call and that decided the fortune of a football team.
Well, you know, your old coach has sounded off on this, and he really likes it because he's got a guy. He's got the quarterback who, fourth and 15 is a little less, stringent than some other quarterback with Patrick Mahomes, which leads me to my next question. They drafted Jalen Hurts. Would Jalen Hurts be their fourth and 15 onside kick play guy? See, well, now you see the can that's open now?
No, I don't see the can.
You don't see the can that's open?
I think it's an interesting question, but are you telling me that we're going to run out Jalen Hurts fourth and 15 trying to get this first down opposed to the guy that we paid all that money in Carson Wentz? I mean, are we really considering that? Would that be a true option? A guy coming off the bench that played maybe a few plays in the game, and now he's going to be this guy that's going to save our game?
What would be the advantage of using Jalen Hurts in that situation? He gets out of the pocket, can make it with his legs more than the other guy.
Well, no, Carson Wentz is a very athletic.
Not like Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a better out-of-the-pocket guy.
Yeah, but you also compromise the passing ability, too. We're not sure what Jalen Hurts is going to be in the NFL. We're not sure that he's going to come in and be able to light the world on fire with his arm. So that means defenses have to play differently as well. So maybe they don't put as much emphasis on the passing side because they're not worried about that. Maybe they spy a linebacker at that point. So, I mean, I think a lot of different things could come. I'm just thinking about Monday morning, Jalen Hurts converts this fourth and 15, and he goes down and finds a way to help this team score. Now what happens with the conversation at the quarterback position if Carson Wentz didn't have a particularly great game? I think it kind of muddies the water for Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz as well.
Well, sure it does. But now that I lit the flame in the minds of the fans, when that fourth and 15 situation comes along, don't you think they're going to be thinking about that part? Tyrone, you say no?
No, you can't.
I say no as well.
Yeah, I rarely agree with Brooke.
They want to do different things with him.
No.
There's versatility.
So at worst, and I don't think this would be good, you would put Carson and him on the field at the same time to make them have to call a timeout or something like that. There's no way you're taking your best player off the field, and he is their best offensive player, on fourth and 15 with the game on the line. You just can't do it.
Sometimes
you can't.
Sometimes you put the Wildcat in. Sometimes you put Randall Cunningham in there on third and long.
Yeah, I was dumb. They didn't win. And we're talking about fourth and 15 down 7. You have the ball. You're trying to convert. I can see, and I don't agree with it, you put Jalen in the slot and you run some sort of action and make them think maybe Carson gives it to him or something, but I can't take my quarterback off the field.
We shall see.
If they do that, he gets fired.
We shall see with Dougie P. He got Jalen now.
Mike, that would be a trick play. I mean, that literally would be a trick play. And if Doug Peterson did that and they didn't convert, oh my goodness, there would be people, there would be fans at the stadium pushing his car out of town with Doug Peterson in there. That's a terrible idea.
And suppose he does convert. Then what? Suppose he converts like this. He drops back conventional, looking for a receiver, not there, slips out of the pocket, runs for the first down. What do you think fans are going to think?
I would say that if he does convert, it's probably two bad outcomes for Doug Peterson. One, let's say he doesn't. At that point, now they're saying, I can't believe you did a trick play on 4-for-15 with our season on the line. And two, let's say he does convert. Now they're saying, well, if he's so good, we're putting him in these critical situations, why didn't he just play the whole game? Maybe we wouldn't be in the 4-for-15 position that we're in. So for Doug Peterson, it probably is all bad, no matter how you...
That's what I said when they drafted him. But they did draft him, and he's yucking it up. And all these people say, well, you could use him in so many forms. Well, there's a form.
That would be... I think that would be a bad situation if you Doug. Here's my other thought about the whole onside kick thing. It would depend if I vote for it or not, if I'm an offensive coach. I mean, if I'm an offensive coach and I have Patrick Mahomes and I have confidence in my playmaking or my play design and ability, if I'm Kyle Shanahan or Andy or Sean Payton, then I'm saying, okay, you know what? I have the perfect play for this situation. If I'm a defensive coach, I'm saying I don't want to put my defense in that situation, especially with the referee's ability to control the outcome of the game. I don't want to put my defense in that situation. So I'm not voting for it if I'm a defensive coach.
You know what?
That's the way that I have to think about it.
I think now it's going to pass. Because the recent the recent trend, for whatever reason, is to hire offensive coaches. I bet you right now, among 32, I bet you it's 26-6 offense to defensive head coaches right now. Seriously, mm-hmm. I think Rivera is one of the few. He's definitely the only one in the division that's defensive. You look around the Matt Rule down in Carolina, but there's not that many defensive coaches. I bet you it's anywhere from 24-26 offense versus defense. For that reason that Brian just brought up, I think it will pass because I think Doug and Andy, like he said, and Shanahan, that's the majority right now. They probably all want to get this in their toolbox. And the defensive coaches are right, but there's not enough of them to override. I bet you it passes now because of what Brian said.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. Brian, one other thing. The SEC voted that they're going to open their facilities to players under certain safety guidelines. And I got to think that this is kind of a linchpin for college football. Then maybe think that we can have a season start in September?
Well, I think that we all understand what goes on in the SEC. And it's about dollars and cents,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
That's what it's all about. And so I'm not overly surprised by this. You know, I just read a quote and I was just sending it to my boys because they want to have parties and they want to have fun and different things like that. And I just said, just because the country is open doesn't mean it's safe. And just because we're going to have games doesn't mean it's safe for everyone. I think in some situations, some college teams are going to say, it's not safe for our students to be on campus. So how can we have football? Which makes sense. But if the SEC is opening up, and they're a big money school, I think that would apply to other big money schools. But there's a lot of small programs that are being supported by the basketball program. They're being supported by other programs on that campus. And I don't know that makes sense at that point to bring those programs back. And that's the hard part. That's the sticky subject as far as college sports and athletics as far as with this coronavirus.
Yeah. Well, let's take Penn State, for example, now as opposed to Temple. Temple won't be able to do it because the Philadelphia area is under a, under a red.
But the new report is they think that including Philadelphia will be in the yellow by June 5th, so they probably will be able to start.
What is
soon.
Penn State is already in that kind of red.
Yeah, so they could,
rural PA.
They could start.
You would think that they would have said something, right?
Yeah, they'll probably be able to start by the 5th at the latest as well. They're quote-unquote voluntary workouts that are mandatory.
All right. So this is what I'm going to do with you right now, Brian. Earlier today, we had a draft of Eagle players. Like, it's just a draft. You could take anybody in history in order. And you were selected, believe it or not, number 10 by Tyrone. Tyrone selected you at number 10. Wow. Now, I would like to do a quick draft, me and you, right now.
Okay.
Of all-time Eagles. And I'm going to give you the first pick in the draft. I'll take the second. You take third. Let's see what you come up with here with all-time Eagles. All right? So your number one draft pick all-time for the Eagles would be what?
Reggie White. No doubt about it.
Reggie White, which was what our caller selected. Reggie White as number one. Well, that leaves me. You know, I'm gonna follow Tyrone's tenet and go with the left tackle to protect. I'm going to go Jason Peters.
What?
Yes. Oh, I'm going to go. The second pick in the draft is Jason Peters. Now, I'm formulating the squad here. Now, I know who you're going with at three.
Who's that? Who do you think?
Oh, of course I know what it is. You're going five.
Nope.
You're not?
I'm going defense.
Okay.
I'm going number 20.
You got Brian Dawkins.
Brian Dawkins, number 2.
Oh, Brian Dawkins going. All right, number 3. Guess who I'm going with?
5.
5 is right. Donovan McNabb at the fourth pick in the draft. And now you're at number 5.
Number 5, at this point, I think I will go quarterback. And this is going to surprise a lot of people. I think I'm going to go Randall Cunningham, number 5. Number five.
You're going to take Randall as a backup?
What do you mean?
You're taking the all-time best player. You're drafting from the all-time best players. Okay. You can do that.
Yeah.
Randall Cunningham, you got Randall 5th overall.
Are we talking about my team versus your team?
No. We're just like collectively drafting.
And I'm
just
okay.
I'm just curious to see where. Yeah, but that's Randall Cunningham is cool. That's a good.
No. If we already have a quarterback. You have Donovan McNabb already. Now we have to go. We have to go offense again. Is T.O. an option or no?
Yes.
Well, we go T.O. You got to throw the ball to somebody.
You go on T.O. Okay.
Yeah.
I am going cornerback, and I'm going to take Eric Allen.
Ooh, Eric Allen over Troy Vincent and Al Harris and Bobby Taylor and all those guys, huh?
Yes. Now, when we did this with the callers and Tyrone did take Bobby Taylor. I would have taken Troy over Bobby slightly. But I got Eric Allen, to me, was the best corner they had.
Okay.
All right, so now it's your selection.
Well, at this point, I think it was only fitting. We had the wide receiver. We had the quarterback. We had the left tackle. Mm-hmm. We had the guys on defense. Now we need a running back that can do it all, a guy that can catch, a guy that can run, a guy that can be shifty, make people miss. And who need a punt return from time to time, a guy that can do that. He also is the Eagles' all-time yards leader over the course of the history of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going Brian Westbrook.
Now, is it a violation to take yourself?
That's a violation.
It's a huge violation.
He took himself in seventh pick.
And you notice how he elaborated so much more on himself than everybody else in the show.
Yes, he did.
Gave the whole resume.
All right, that's all right, though, because that's not a bad selection, even though it came from the guy himself. So let's go with... I'm going to go Seth Joyner at 8.
Seth Joyner. I like Seth Joyner an awful lot. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm going same team. Jerome Brown.
Jerome Brown is a good selection. So you're going to take
the middle of that defense.
The defensive tackle. So, all right. So now we're at pick number 10. And I got to go. Let's see where I want to go here. All right. I'm going to correct my previous mistake that I made earlier. And I'm going to go with a right tackle. I'm taking Lane Johnson at 10.
Lane Johnson. Hey, I got a question for you. Is Lane Johnson better than John Runyon?
Well, I took Runyon earlier, and I looked at it a little closer. I don't think Runyon made enough Pro Bowls. I think Lane made more right now.
Yeah. Okay.
But I did take Runyon earlier, so now I'm like, you know, I'm hedging my bet here and going with Lane Johnson.
Well, I tell you, you always need two good corners, and nothing beats, a solid defender better than a playmaking cornerback. And because of that, I'm going Asante Samuel on the opposite side of the field.
My! Asante Samuel over your boy Troy?
Yep.
Wow!
Asante Samuel over Troy.
Number 22 gets the nod at 12. You like that, Tyrone?
I'm more anti-Troy Vincent.
Yeah, you're not a fan of Troy.
No.
You don't like his...
what he's currently
Why
doing in the
like
league
Troy
office.
Vincent?
He doesn't like what he's done.
I think he's doing a poor job in the league office, in my opinion.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to go 13. I need a tight end, Brian. And I guess the guy that's playing now is the best tight end they've ever had. So I'm going to go Zach Ertz.
I have to agree there. I think he probably is. I was thinking in my mind about Chad Lewis earlier, but of course, Zach Ertz is much better than Chad. But Chad was he was a good player. I think at this point, it's time for me to go a guy opposite of Keo, a guy that Donovan McNabb can never overthrow, a guy with so much speed and quickness. You know, I think his career was cut a little bit short with the knee injury, but fast, quick, thick. Mike Quick.
You go Mike Quick. Over Harold Carmichael. Interesting.
All right,
so you're going Quick. So it's T.O. and Quick with Zach Ertz as the receivers. Now I could go slot here, or I could go interior lineman. I'm going to go center. Jason Kelce at 15.
Good pick. That's a really good pick. I feel like I should go middle of that defense again. And I'm talking about a guy that could bring the attitude, the toughness, and that's Jeremiah Trotter. Fill the middle of that defense up. Go kiss somebody in the mouth, Jeremiah.
All right, so you're going Trotter. Now, earlier I took Bergie. Now, Trotter will be your middle linebacker. So now I have one safety. I'm going to go, I guess I have to go either another corner, but no, the cornerbacks are locked. So I got a safety. I got an outside linebacker. I got a defensive tackle I can go with, or I could go with another defensive end, and I'm going to go with the defensive end, Clyde Simmons.
That's exactly what I was doing.
With Reggie White, bringing the band back together.
That's right. You got Jerome Brown on that team, too. So, I mean, you got all of them there.
Yep.
Oh, man. You know, I'm thinking safety.
Mm-hmm.
This is a tough one because I could obviously make a great case for Malcolm Jenkins. There's a part of me that wants Andre Waters on my team, a guy that can be physical, nasty. If you come across the middle, we're going old school football.
Wow, Andre Waters was selected fifth in our earlier situation by a caller. So you're going to Andre Waters, a good value at 18.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there you go. So now we only have a couple starting spots left. And we have a right guard that we need and a left guard. I'll take care of the right guard, and I'm going to go Brandon Brooks.
Brandon Brooks, I like the selection. I'm going to go left guard, but this guy played right, but he was so athletic, he could play any position on the field. As long as he stayed focused. Sean Andrews, probably one of the most talented guys I've played for, a big man.
Sean Andrews, an under-the-radar selection, but based on talent, you're dead right on that. He just has some problems.
Man who wants to
left side of the line, Sean Andrews and Jason Peter. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Man, would have so many holes.
He once told me that his musical inspiration was Ace of Base.
Who, Sean Andrews told you that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he sounds about right.
He was surprised. He was different. All right, so I need a slot receiver, outside linebacker, or that's it. Yeah, slot receiver, outside linebacker. Well, guess what? Can I throw DeSean Jackson in the slot?
Yes, you can.
All right, I'm going to go.
Yes, you can.
I'm going to go DeSean Jackson, and then you have the final selection of an outside linebacker.
Oh, man. You know, I would hate to not put this guy in because I think he's a glue guy. I think he's a guy that can do a lot of different things, do the things that no one ever recognizes, cover up that tight end and be tough against the run. That's Carlos Emmons. I mean, nasty physical player.
Tyrone selected
teammate.
Carlos Emmons, too. That's a pretty good pick. All right. So there you go. Not a bad squad. There you
very
go. Carlos
like
Emmons. And in the middle, Trotter. And on the other side, who was the other linebacker on the other side we had? Oh, Seth.
Seth.
That's pretty good. Jerome Brown as a tackle. Clyde Simmons, Reggie White. And
Trotter's in there.
Yeah, we met. I guess we forgot a tackle. Maybe not. I don't know.
We got to put Fletcher Cox in there too. Let's throw him in there. Compliment.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox. All right, we'll put Fletcher Cox. All right, that locks it. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Your calls now for Brian Westbrook, 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:30, Mike Missinelli Show. Let's see an update on our Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Egghoff. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll has over 1,200 votes on it so far. What are you doing this Memorial Day weekend? 11% say going to the shore. 26% say barbecue. 6% say to-go drinks. 57% say nothing. So maybe they're sitting on the dock of the bay.
There you go. Watching the tide roll away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very nice. Are we ready to do? Are ready to make Westbrook a music critic?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so there's a guy. A local guy who was on. We did this thing on. Was on TV last night. Philadelphia music scene fundraiser type of thing, which was streamed. Darrah Hall was involved. The Roots were involved. Philly connected people. And there's, have you ever heard of a guy named Jeffrey Gaines?
No.
All right. Now, Jeffrey Gaines is a local musician. And he did a remake of Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes. And this has always like been my favorite version of this song, even though I love the Peter Gabriel version. This dude can really get it done. So here's the local Jeffrey Gaines with In Your Eyes.
Love it.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an underrated dude.
He's been really nice voice.
He's been a Philly guy for a long time, banging around the scene.
He's excellent. Yeah.
Congratulations to Jeffrey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That particular
I've
song.
I've seen him a couple times locally, but yeah, he's a really good performer.
When I used to do sound for different open mics for some extra money back in my early radio days.
Uh-huh.
I know I've heard a lot of bad covers of that song.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's a lot of bad covers. Like, can you adjust this? I can't adjust your voice.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to sing.
Gabriel goes higher with the with the pitch,
mm-hmm.
but he's got a stronger voice below that pitch.
He does. And that's a good, once you get to the chorus, it's a good crowd participation song.
Yeah, it is.
Because they all do the Your Eyes and then they sing that part and you get
Yep. All right, let's go to Aaron in Norristown. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Michael, how you doing today?
What's up, Aaron?
Quick movie trivia. What movie was that song featured in since that movie died?
You know what? That's you're absolutely right, and I should know this. Because
Frasier's dad was in the movie. There's your hint.
Who was it in it?
Frasier's dad was in the movie. John Cusack was in the movie.
Frasier's dad?
Yeah, he was the father.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even watch Frasier, but I know what you're talking about. No, I can't remember. What is it?
Say Anything.
That's right. Where he's trying to get Ione Sky, right?
There you go.
Oh, yes. I got you. Yep.
I was surprised Bill Bradley didn't get mentioned as a safety with this.
Yeah, too old school. Nobody knows Bill.
Gotcha. So talking about the NHL, they have been laying it out. It's just, you know, not on your priority to cover, I understand, but they're going to be playing in Edmonton and Minnesota, the top four teams in each conference, which include the Flyers now, get a bye, and then the remaining will play in the tournament. So 24 teams will make the playoffs. They'll be playing in Minnesota and Edmonton. They'll be quarantined for 14 days. Those two locations have a very low outbreak, and Canada has a better health system. The only issue they're ironing out is getting their players back from over in different countries and being able to cross the border, which legally you cannot do, except for essential purposes.
Yeah, I'm so sure the players are going to love being cordoned off in Edmonton. But, you're right. It'll be nice TV presentation, so I'm good
and
with
it. I want to have a draft pick, but I got to call a violation on Chris Pronger. Chris Pronger, who the Chicago newspaper literally put in a skirt calling him Chrissy Pronger for blowing that series against the Blackhawks, Game 5. We would have won that series. I mean, I don't have anything against Chris Pronger. We just got him.
He didn't get to Chris Pronger.
I mean, I could give you one of the Watson brothers before I take Pronger as a fire, or Chris Therrien or Brad Marsh. I mean, something.
Yeah, I'm not going Watson brother or Brad Marsh. Well,
I'm playing a little bit. But did I get a pick?
Yeah, well, we haven't even, we have to go into a new sport now.
You want to do hockey?
All right, go ahead. The Pronger was the last pick. Yeah, all right.
You know who I'm not going to guess, obviously, but I'm going to let you guess who I'm going to guess. I'm going to give you another trivia question. Who holds the record for most points in a season by a Flyer?
Reggie Leach.
No, points, not goals.
Points, I don't know. Who is it?
Mark Recchi, that's who I said.
Oh, you're taking Rex? All right, you got Rex. That's a pretty good selection, Rex. Not a bad selection. He's did a lot of points here as a Flyer.
Yeah, he's
but good. We're going to segue to, do you want to go Sixers?
Yeah.
When we come back?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to segue to the Sixers, Brian, and draft some Sixer players. So here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. And you can make the selections as well. We're going to open this up to everybody now on the Sixers draft. Caller Tyrone, Natalie, me, Brian Westbrook. Chiming in, it is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people headed down to the shore. Whatever you're doing, be safe. I'm curious to know the people that are down the shore, how you're going to handle this. What's the protocol? Are you just going down there to see how it goes, or do you have an actual plan regarding the abundance of people that will be down there this weekend? 610-622-0975. Before we get back to the phones, there seemed to be, I was watching, reading Twitter yesterday. You, Tyrone and Natalie had a little thing going with the people regarding the little rye toast that's in
in the Chex mix.
In the Chex mix. First of all, Brian, Tyrone is anti-pretzel. Are you anti-pretzel?
Oh, no. Pretzels are a great snack. Not a high in calorie. It's great, nice and crunchy. I love pretzels, especially late at night.
There's some reason that Tyrone is anti-pretzel. And now, so we carry that. We carry that to the Chex mix. He says he throws out all the pretzels and also does not like the little rye toast items.
Natalie
doesn't like the rye toast. Now, when it comes to Chex mix, I'll eat everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to throw out little parts. Chex mixes, to me, it signifies unity. You know, all these snacks like coming together. You don't like it?
I don't like it. I don't like to mix my snacks. If I want pretzels, I'm going to eat pretzels. If I'm going to eat something a little bit sweet or savory, I'm going to eat that. I'm not going to mix them all together and have a bunch of tastes in my mouth. I'm not doing that. No good for me.
Wait, so you don't like your peas touching your mashed potatoes either?
No, those guys? Nope, I don't like Yeah, and that's exactly how I want separation between my food.
See, that's a personality trait. I knew exactly when you say you don't like the snacks. Commingling the snacks gives you like a difference, a taste sensation difference, a variety.
Right. You're right, Mike.
Yeah, I don't like it.
See, Brian, I told y'all to watch him.
I don't like it.
I've been telling y'all.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Remember, he doesn't like his chocolate and peanut butter together.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
True.
Yeah, he doesn't like blends.
Yeah, no blends.
Well, they shouldn't go together. But if you don't like pretzels, then you're un-American. I mean, that's just what that is.
Pretzels stink, man. Well,
pretzels are so good.
Brian, how do you rate the snack, Brian? I mean, you give me like 1, 2, 3.
The snack. I mean, I like pretzels. I love these Tostitos chips right now.
Tostitos goes one for you.
That goes number one. You know, I'm not going to put any candy or anything like that. My number two is salt and vinegar chips. I love salt and vinegar chips.
You and it's I, on a, yeah, that's an excellent chip. That's my go-to chip also.
I think we have a consensus on the salt and vinegar.
Yeah, great chip. Yeah.
And three would be what? The pretzel?
Nope. Three is not the pretzel. The three is the unsalted peanut. That's what number three.
Unsalted peanuts.
Yeah, sometimes they go overboard with the salt.
I can roll with the unsalted peanut, too. Now, I would rather go unsalted cashew before the unsalted peanut.
Oh, no. No, cashews have a bad taste. No good.
An almond gal myself.
Almonds
are where it's at.
So he spent all that time defending pretzels and mentioning how he puts unsalted peanuts above them. He doesn't like pretzels either. No one likes pretzels.
Pretzels in my top five. It's just not number three.
It's probably not. Then he gets to five. He goes, this is my top 10. Then he gets to 10. It's my top 15. No one likes them.
That's good. To fun. Vicente in Lansdowne. What's up, Vicente? You got a question for B. West?
Hola, amigo, Mike.
Hola, Vicente. ¿Qué tal?
Westbrook, yes. I do have a question because Mr. Westbrook is one of the greatest running back in Eagles franchise history, and he is in the Hall of Fame of the Eagles. When is the time that you are going to be selected as an NFL Hall of Famer? How many years does it have to pass by?
That's a tough one, Vicente. I've already reached my five. I think it's 5 years after you retire. Then you're eligible for the Hall of Fame, which I was on the list, which to me is a proud moment. You know, I think it's just hard for me to get into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I played during an era where people wanted running backs to run, you know, to carry the ball 20 to 25 times a game. I didn't do that. That wasn't my style. You know, and then talk about longevity of your career. You have to have a productive career for a long time. Or like if you're Terrell Davis that has 6 years, you got to be MVP. You got to have over 2,000 yards and win a Super Bowl, none of which I've done. So it's going to be pretty tough for me to get in there.
At any rate, we will always remember you as the electrifying, game-changing play that you made running, you know, not just running, receiving and doing the everything like returner, you know.
I appreciate
two seasons of 1,000-plus yards. Nobody can compare to you, not even LeSean McCoy.
I appreciate that. They're thinking about bringing LeSean McCoy back, I hear.
Have you talked to Shady about that, Brian?
From time to time. I haven't talked to him since I read the report maybe a couple of days ago, but I know he wants to get back to Philly. I know he loves Philadelphia. Yeah. And I know he's been working out like crazy, too, so I'm happy for him. And if he gets that opportunity, it'll be interesting.
Brian, in the farm in Maryland, you're going to be riding a horse. What is the name of the horse, your favorite, or is it just renting?
No, my favorite horse's name is Don Rico. Don Rico.
Wow, man.
My favorite horse, yeah.
And then you have to prepare in 3 more months, in 1 week, is your birthday on September 2nd, on the Labor Day.
That's
weekend.
You know? That's right. That is my birthday.
It's all up in the B. West book.
We are thrilled
to have Don Rico. Hey, Vicente, thank you for the call. Hey, Vicente, you have a great Memorial Day weekend. All right, you too. You too, buddy. What's the Don Rico? Where's that come from?
You know, where did I get that name from? Somebody I talked to, they were like, you should name it Don Rico. I can't even think of the name. Who told me that at the time? But it wasn't. Whoever that was, I'm not talking to that person anymore. So, if you know what I mean.
Like, it's got good.
Yeah. I got what he just said. He slid that in there.
Oh, that he's not talking to him anymore?
Yeah.
Just stay with me here.
I don't.
Somebody's not talking to him anymore?
It's somebody.
I didn't get it.
I'll tell you during the break.
All right. Okay.
Well, I'm a married man now, Mike. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Oh, I got you.
He's not talking to her anymore.
Oh, okay. I got you. Jim on a cell. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hello, Jim.
I just wanted to, as an older guy who's 64, mm-hmm. I wanted to just put my thoughts in the best league of all time.
Okay.
And I would say it's Chuck Benarek, a two-way player.
Yeah, we forgot Chuck. He fell between the cracks. He was like, we weren't thinking that long ago when we put this draft together.
That's what I said. I'm an old man.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably should be the starting middle linebacker. But Brian selected Trotter because, you know, Brian's a youngin'.
He was probably the best middle linebacker in history. I mean, but Trotter's Trotter. We know how good he was.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody can deny Bednarik's greatness in the annals of pro football. But we just weren't thinking like 60s.
Yeah, I mean, small too. I mean, you got to remember we're playing with bigger players nowadays. You can't play middle linebacker. It's hard to play middle linebacker.
How many pounds did Bednarik weigh when he played the middle linebacker and center?
I would say like 220, 230 or so, right?
Was about 220, 230. Yeah, you're right. All right, listen, man. Have a great Memorial Day weekend with the fam. You're going to have fun on the farm. And say hello to the children and the wife. And we will talk to you next week.
All right, Mike. Take care, guys. Have fun, Natalie and Ty as well. Take care.
All right, there he is. Brian Westbrook. He joins us every Friday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, the Mike Mussinelli Show. Now, I'm in a Western type of mood now, talking to B. West with the horses because he wears the cowboy hat.
He does the full Western thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I watched the movie. You know, it's a very underrated movie, and I watched it like a couple nights in a row. Tombstone.
Oh, Tombstone's good.
Really good.
Tombstone's good.
It's a really good movie.
Not familiar.
Yeah, really?
No.
It's the real life kind of story of Wyatt Earp, but it's played by... Wyatt Earp is played by... I can't remember his name.
Kilmer?
No, Kilmer plays Doc Holliday.
Yeah.
Married to Goldie Hawn.
Oh, yeah, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell plays Wyatt Earp. Val Kilmer is amazing as Doc Holliday because he's dying of hepatitis.
Oh.
And he plays like really gut-wrenching performance. Best performance of Val Kilmer's life.
Really?
Yes.
I'll have to look it up.
And it's an old Western type of vendetta. Gangs after gangs, and he's the peacemaker, and he finally realizes he has to go down with a fight,
and
you know, against the bandits.
And there are people who think that was sort of the end for Costner, because Costner did the movie. It came out the same year.
Yeah, it's not Wyatt
Earp.
Movie.
He did Wyatt Earp. He played the Tombstone came right.
It's better.
Right, it's better. And I remember there were people who, like critics at the time, said couldn't Costner have been in Tombstone instead of Wyatt Earp?
Yeah,
because he was in Wyatt Earp playing, and it was like the same time. Tombstone did better and was better.
Two great villains in Tombstone: Powers Booth, and the guy who played Johnny Ringo. Excellent badass.
I haven't seen that in a while.
Bandit types.
It's been on Tombstone.
The last couple of nights, it was on.
What would you like on your tombstone? Remember that commercial?
Yeah, not talking about pizza.
Pizza commercial.
Mike wouldn't eat that kind of pizza.
Yeah, Wyatt Earp was a heroic son of a gun, man.
He was heroic.
He fell for, what's her name, with the girl that was the singer, actress. She had a run as an actress, and then she kind of fell off the map.
Yeah.
The brunette. You would know her, Nat, too. What was her name?
Who was it? Kevin Costner?
This actress is Irish-looking lass.
Let me see.
She fell in love with it. Wyatt Earp fell in love with
Dana
her.
Oh, Dana Delaney?
Dana Delaney, yes. Dana Delaney. And Sam Elliott was in it. That old Western Sam Elliott type of deep voice. Bill Paxton. They were the Earp brothers.
Bill Paxton
was Morgan Earp, and Sam Elliott was Virgil Earp.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We're back into the 5 o'clock hour after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.